the Haynesboro Assembly moves closer to rezoning heavy industrial property near Jones Point to accommodate recreational use of that area. And a new federal grant provides job training and addiction treatment to help fight the opioid crisis. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Henry Leisha. Those stories and more up next. After reviewing a recommendation from the Planning Commission, the Haynesboro Assembly approved rezoning plans for South Sawmill Road at a meeting last night. The new zoning designation is intended to align better with the land use needs of the property's owners, Tokchinook Watershed Council, and Professional Property Management. In May, Tokchinook Watershed Council and Professional Property Management made a petition to rezone all or part of their land near Jones Point from heavy industrial to rural mixed use. In its application to the borough, Tokchinook said the current zoning is preventing the organization from pursuing several goals, including developing trails and making the area a center for recreation, education, research, and conservation. Their request was sent to the borough's Planning Commission. The commission recommended that the borough deny the request, in part because rural mixed-use zoning would allow residences to come into the area. Planning Commission Chair Rob Goldberg said this could lead to conflict.
Rural mixed-use will allow residences to come into that area, and when residences come in next to industrial, there's always conflict. And so I think having rural mixed-use come into this area is just a recipe for future conflict. And I think it'll actually come back to bite the property owners who are there now.
The Planning Commission proposed rezoning the properties to industrial light commercial instead. This would allow for uses that fit the needs of the owners while leaving the door open for heavy industrial use to take place with a conditional use permit. While the Planning Commission's recommendation was approved unanimously, Assemblymember Brenda Josephson said she was concerned about losing land zoned for heavy industry.
It's great that Tokchinook's community-minded and they want to make this a recreational site. This was a heavy industrial area, and the borough is supposed to protect heavy industrial for heavy industrial.
Assemblyman Tom Morfitt responded, saying it's unfortunate that borough code prevents trail development through heavy industrial areas, because he doesn't think that recreation and industry are mutually exclusive.
I think there's every reason to believe that waterfront, which is one of the most spectacular spots in our valley, from Cars Cove to the golf course, will one day be a park. This is a historic day, because maybe we've taken the first step towards that. Does that mean that behind the park or offshore from the park, there can't be some kind of industrial activity going on? No, not at all.
Josephson also raised doubts about Tokchinook's capacity to remediate contaminated soil stockpiles on its land. In the 90s, gasoline-contaminated soil was transported from the former Haynes Tank Farm on Beach Road to the end of Sawmill Road. When Tokchinook took ownership of the property in 2015, they also took on the cleanup of 5 contaminated stockpiles. Josephson said that she didn't want to make any changes to the zoning until this issue was dealt with.
But I also would ask the assembly to not let this zoning become enforced until after we've got communication from DEC that we've got an entity that's in compliance with their regulations.
Recently, Tokchinook missed a deadline to provide a remediation plan for the contaminated piles to the Department of Environmental Conservation. However, Tokchinook's executive director, Meredith Pokart, said that the council received a waiver from DEC for missing the deadline.
And yes, I do understand that we did not meet that deadline, but we have been in constant communication with DEC and did get a written email today kind of extending that deadline because we're pursuing this other funding opportunity to get those piles under remediation.
Tokchinook is seeking funding for the stockpile remediation through the EPA's Brownfields program, which helps communities assess, clean up, and sustainably reuse properties that contain pollutants. Moving forward, an ordinance to rezone the property will be drawn up, and 2 public hearings will be held on the plans for the site before the change can be implemented. The largest ship in the Alaska Marine Highway Fleet is expected to resume service between Bellingham, Washington, and Southeast Alaska tomorrow night. The 418-foot ferry, Columbia, has been undergoing repairs at a Bellingham shipyard. Sailings the past 2 weeks were canceled after the Marine Highway discovered a damaged exhaust system and turbocharger. The ship was evacuated because of exhaust on board shortly after docking in Bellingham in late June. Aura Landau is a spokesperson for the ferry system.
The Columbia repairs are going well, and the Coast Guard is looking like it's going to be certifying the vessel to leave Bellingham on its Friday, July 13th sailing. So we're looking good for the next sailing.
Repairs have included fabricating some new sections of the engine's exhaust system. Landau says there will be more work to do in the winter.
Yeah, the Marine Highway System was able to do some repairs at the shipyard in Bellingham, and further repairs to do overhaul work in the exhaust system will happen this winter when the Columbia goes in for regular layup and maintenance.
No word yet on the cost of that repair work. The mainline ferry has been out of service during its peak summer season. The ship is scheduled to leave Bellingham at 6 on Friday, headed for communities in southeast Alaska. A new federally funded grant will provide job training for some Alaskans with opioid addictions who are leaving prisons or juvenile justice facilities. The grant will also pay to increase the number of people trained to provide opioid treatment. State Labor and Workforce Development Commissioner Heidi Drygass says the opioid crisis is affecting Alaskans from all backgrounds.
It's affecting those who are impacted by addiction, whether they are themselves addicted and trying to come off opioids, or whether they have family members that are addicted. And those individuals need assistance, first of all, getting clean and getting sober, but also they need help seeking employment.
Drygass says family members of those with addictions could also receive job training. She says her department applied to the new Dislocated Worker Grant as soon as officials became aware of it. The U.S. Department of Labor has set aside $21 million to provide these grants across the country.
That small grant of $1.2 million is huge to our department and our state. And so I think we can have a really great impact with that amount of money.
In addition to job training and opioid treatment, the grant will pay to inform at-risk youths about the dangers of addiction. It will train teachers in addiction and how to help students having crises. And it will pay for medical devices that are designed to help people who are withdrawing from opioid use. The grant starts this month and lasts 2 years. The state is working to launch the programs. For KHNS, I'm Henry Leisha. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.